Okay, yes, we had our Group A morning meeting, and I was asked to put some figures together to show this. So it's very improvised, and it's not really a student presentation in that sense. But I like to talk about geodynamical models and how we can try to predict seismic wave speeds from these models. Introduce you to the models I work with, they are based on thermochemical convection, which I will not talk too much about today. On the left you see the composition field. So I start with two different compositions, and in time I look at how this evolves. But maybe more interesting here is this middle column, which shows the temperature field in time. So we go from the start of the model to 4.5 billions of years. And typically you see a transition from layered mantle convection, so that is layered on the 660 phase boundary, which is located just here, and it has a strength of minus 2.5 megapascals per Kelvin. And you see that there's a transition from this layered convection to whole mantle convection. And what is important here is that this is a natural evolution. So as the mantle cools, the convection cell, size of the up and down wellings will grow bigger in time. And this is the important thing for when a slab is able to cross the transition or not. So you can see this happening here. Maybe not so well, but first you have a period of slab which ponds at the 660 phase transition, and a lot of material is collected, and at a certain point you generate enough negative buoyancy to let this blob of material sink down, and you create a flushing event or mantle avalanche. And this basically continues to the end of the model. Yeah. Oh, these are streamlines, so it's lines along. It's not isotope contours, no. It's along which material is flowing. Yes. So here, flow is inhibited by the phase transition, and at this location, the density jump, the difference in density between these two reservoirs creates another type of layering in the lower mantle.
How big is that? Sorry. How big is the density?
In this model, it's 2%. Yeah, I can show you. Yeah.
No streamlines in the lower.
No, it convects. There's little convection there. Yeah. Okay, so then you can try, and others have tried before, to go from the temperature field to predict seismic wave fields. And this is basically how you should do it. So what I have from the models is a density anomaly and a temperature anomaly. These are more important. They have a bigger effect on the velocity variations, which are these. So it's the relative velocity variation in the models. And to link these two, you need the seismic derivatives, which we get from mineral physics. And in the models I show here, I took some values from Tremper, and there are more recent updates on this. And the results are shown here. And I plotted here one state of layered convection, and on top you see whole mantle convection, or this episodic convection. And this is the VP and VS result for this. And a few interesting things here are that if you have layered convection, so no material exchange between upper and lower mantle, you still see some features which look slab-like. So you have thermocoupling between the upper and lower mantle, which produces a signal like this, which you may, which look very much like slab-like features. Then if you go to more whole mantle convection, you get a signal like this. So this basically reflects still the temperature field, and biggest variations are still in the upper mantle. From this you would also predict a decorrelation across the 660 phase change, and there are some features here which are related to the chemical, to the layering again. So another way to represent this is using the RMS velocities. So it's a measure for how much your velocity perturbations vary from a horizontal mean. And you see a signal here close to the top surface, and this is what you see at the phase transition. And this signal can be compared with seismological observations where you might see something similar right here. And then two last slides to...
Where do you get a zero in this case, an incremental boundary?
It's a
position of the model.
It's an isothermal top layer, so you have no temperature changes at this layer. Yeah. And there are also no compositional variation in the upper mantle. So that's why you go to zero there. Yeah. And then I have two more slides which deal with the effect of the phase transition. And I first like to show the effect of a density increase. So the excess density in this layer increases. So this is not a time series now, but different model solutions after 4.5 million years of evolution. And well, you see that the density has a big effect on whether this layer survives or not. So the more dense you, a more dense layer survives more easily. And maybe it's interesting to compare this with the phase transition effect. So I go here from having no phase transition at all to very high values. And you also see a very big effect on the way the mantle evolves. So in this case you go to completely layering and turnover of this material, so you would expect a very different chemical signature in the upper mantle and at the surface than in a very in a model where convection is layered throughout the evolution. So this is all I have to show for now. So.
These average temperature profiles?
Yes, yeah. So also there's a very big difference. A huge unrealistic temperature change in the upper mantle in contrast to continuous temperature down.
How severe do you need the discontinuity to be to get no communication from, like, no mass communication through the battery?
For these models, it would be between these two values.
Well, even that last one, you're still getting stream lines across.
Not really.
No.
So.
It's like a third of the way over.
This one. It's one convection going down and one up.
Oh, okay.
You see something? I mean. You see, for instance, that very little of this material is in the end, well, you can hardly see it, but
some
of them will be entrained, yes.
Does this model is a large Kaplan swirl? Does this still have avalanches or it doesn't?
It doesn't, no. So throughout evolution, no such slab will sink into the lower mantle. The critical value seems to lie between these two. So in taking minus 2.5 enables material exchange between upper and lower mantle, whereas this one doesn't. It also depends on other input parameters, but
yes. Okay.
Yeah. it's three orders of magnitude, so not so much. Yeah.
But the conventions, standards of these rocks, to take into account the dependence of these.
No. That was actually taken into account in the Trompert paper and in other papers, but I took a constant value, yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.